Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We are into the second hour of R3. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all the text, calls and comments. Really appreciated. To some of those comments now, and it's an email entitled General Election Count Interview Censored. Let me see. On the 1st of December, Greg Hughes spoke to Nikki Bradley. In this interview, Nikki complained about a negative attitude among the constituency. Greg did a commendable job, in this interview, which falls into the public interest. The interview has since been scrubbed from your platform. Clips from your interview were starting to go viral. They've since also been removed from Twitter X, although I cannot confirm the reasoning. I assume it's due to the copyright issues with your platform. The original viral tweets were tagged to Highland Radio, which would indicate prior knowledge. I hold Highland Radio's journalistic integrity to high regard. I urge you not to remove interviews in the public interest at any political actor's request. I sincerely hope this is not what has occurred. That comes in from Kevin. Kevin, no, not at all. It's just not how I operate, and it's not how the station operates either, in fairness. We were just doing our election coverage. I'll give you just exactly the scenario as it outlines. We were doing our election coverage over the weekend, as many of you were listening to or watching. Nikki Bradley, who it was clear that she wasn't going to get elected and was leaving the county centre, sat down for an interview. It was just a regular interview. And then Nikki Bradley talked about the fact that we had to be positive, or we needed to be more positive. And in elements, I don't disagree, but anyway. But I just put across a few points, as I would to absolutely anyone. It's nothing to do with Nikki Bradley. I've nothing against Nikki at all. I just pointed out a few things that might make it hard for people to just wake up and be positive in the morning. Now, I was just doing my job, and the interview continued, and we backed and forth and had a conversation about it. It was somebody else, a third party, I don't know who it was, someone took a clip of that interview. Because we were flat out down there. There's absolutely no way we had time for this. And I wouldn't have cut the interview the way it was cut either, to be honest with you, because it was a longer form and it gave Nikki an opportunity to reply a little bit better to what I was saying to her. Someone clipped it and posted it on X, and it went viral. Now, I don't know who did that, but I suspect they didn't expect it to go quite as viral as it did. And it was they that took it down. I don't know why they took it down. I don't know the person. I know nothing about it. I was in the throes of the election. I was not able to track it. I don't know what the story is. It was taken down by the original poster. We don't really check the social medias, particularly when it's that busy. So I don't know. I didn't know we were at it in it. Or I don't know. I've got thousands of interactions on X that I haven't even been able to look at yet. So we had nothing to do with putting it up, and we had nothing to do with taking it down. And I'll say something else after in relation to that. Someone else then put it up, and it's been widely shared again and has gone viral again. So we didn't put it up. We didn't take it down. The full interview, Michaela was working flat out, cutting interviews and putting them on our website. The full interview's on our website because it's a news story. Not framing it in relation to that, just generally Nikki Bradley reacts to the election. What I will say is that whilst people might not agree with Nikki, I'm not a big fan, and the reason I wouldn't have posted it, I'm not a big fan of the pylon on Nikki. Now, Nikki Bradley had a point of view in relation to something. People may disagree or agree. I don't know if Nikki is happy with the way she articulated or not, right? But I really don't like people being targeted like Nikki's being targeted for her point of view. It's got very personal, and it's thrust a spotlight on her that that's just me being completely honest with you. I would never have cut it like that and framed it like that. I simply wouldn't have. And I'm not criticizing those that did. It was an interview. People can interpret or do whatever they wish with it. But we weren't involved in putting it up in that context. That's the God's honest truth. And we certainly weren't involved in taking it down. It was the original poster that took it down. But also, there's quite a lot of me feels that, I don't know, we'll see. Anyway, but that's the facts as they are. And as it relates to our comments the context of that, people can make up their own minds. Michael Doherty, Charlie got his seat. No help from the abuse the Micah group gave him. He's there now for 5 years, so you can eat humble pie. It's the Defective Concrete group, but they're still called Micah. Mag. Good morning, Greg. Just wanted to point out that you were very quick to dismiss Charlie McConlogue even before a vote was cast, calling the five seats. Highland did a very good job of covering the count. No, are you on about during the course of the coverage? I mean, it was made very clear that we were working on numbers. So we spoke to, and this is why it's selective hearing that people might have. Throughout the course yesterday, obviously, we had a panel trying to figure out where votes were going to go, because that's all we've got. That's, we can't sit there with our hands, we can't sit there with our arms folded waiting for a count. So you speculate. So we had Noel Blaney on, who's the Director of Elections for Charlie McConlogue. He was running through the figures. He said, and we kept reference to this, he was saying, you know, the votes are there for Charlie McConlogue. Then we had the likes of John Campbell with the Pringle camp, and he was looking at the numbers, and he says, we see a pathway there. The die had already been cast. The public had already decided. The one thing we didn't know was how they had decided. And when you're doing 14 hours of election coverage, all you can do is speculate as the permutations and what might happen. So no one was writing anyone off. And again, I said it quite clearly on this show that it was my view that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would be returned into government, because a lot of people were texting, presuming there'd be a change. Hi, Greg. Practically everything you've said to Charlie is a contradiction. Yeah, I was having a conversation with Charlie. Farmers and fishermen have suffered under the EU. Trump has announced no tariffs on Ireland. The UK is not in the EU, but is one of our best trading partners. And most products today in Ireland come from China. OK, let me break this down for you. I was talking about us trading with the EU outside of the EU. OK, we trade with the UK, of course, but also the UK produces its own produce as well. So we're competing with that. We have to export into a market that they're producing it locally. OK, so that's an issue there. I never said, and then he says Trump hasn't announced tariffs on Ireland. Nobody's flagged them. He hasn't announced tariffs on anything because he's not in power, but he's suggested that he will. Most of our products in Ireland come from China. Left-wing politics has brainwashed this country to the extent that all mainstream parties preach it. Charlie, your caller was right. We needed Trump to put the Irish people first. And I was just asking, what does Irish First look like? That's all. It's called a conversation. We don't want to be tetchy. We're all having a point of view here. Right, on this week's show, we've got some lovely giveaways for you, and I'm going to give you a reminder of them because it's free for you to enter. All you have to do is send us a text or WhatsApp, and you could win one of these great prizes. This week's show, and with thanks to our friends at the Silver Tassie Hotel and Seascape Spa, we're giving you the chance to win their Pamper Me Please package. It's worth €130, and it includes a 2.5 spa package of an aromatic steam session and cocoon room, a stress-relieving back massage, a pressure point foot massage, and other stuff as well. And to be in with a chance to win this prize, simply answer the following question, and the prize is given away on Friday. Which Christmas song mentions a one-horse open sleigh? Is it Jingle Bells or is it White Christmas? Text your answer, name and address to 086 60 25,000. And while you're at it, why not be in with a chance of winning €50 today, or indeed a bumper hamper for you and someone special to you? It's thanks to our friends at Cadbury, and it's part of the return of Secret Santa. You'll see QR codes and special posters around the country. There are 22,000 bars to give away. What we're giving away, as I say, is a daily prize of €50 and also two bumper hampers at the end of the week. And we just want you to tell us why someone would deserve a free chocolate bar from you, or indeed the hamper itself. Have they done something nice for you? Are they a special person? You know, that kind of stuff. It's an opportunity to spread some love. So all you have to do is text or WhatsApp 086 60 25,000 with your nomination. And just to let you know, of course, that Cadbury Secret Santa is back. With Cadbury Secret Santa, you can send chocolate secretly to someone special for free. Now, Gardaí are appealing for witnesses following a fatal road traffic collision near Buncrana yesterday morning, Sunday the 1st of December. The single vehicle collision involved a car. It occurred on the R244 Mountain Road at Ballinlough shortly after 5 a.m. The driver and sole occupant of the vehicle, a adult male in his teens, was fatally injured in the collision. The teenager killed in that single vehicle road collision in Buncrana has been named locally as 18-year-old Tiernan Doherty Kelly from Carn Donagh. Councillor Albert Doherty is vice chairperson of the Carn Donagh Football Soccer Club. And Albert, I wish I was speaking to you under any other circumstances than this today. It is just the saddest of news for young Tiernan, who had set so much ahead of him, his family and friends, and the wider community. And I think anyone that heard this news, you can't help but be touched by it, Albert.
Yeah, similar to you. I wish there was another subject matter, but locally, our community has been devastated by the news we heard yesterday morning that we had lost a lovable, valuable young man who had so much to live for and who had given us so much contribution to sports and whatnot in our community. We are just distraught and devastated as that news filtered through yesterday morning.
Tell us a little bit about Tiernan. You knew him, Albert.
Well, personally, I first ran across Tiernan when he was a pupil at St. Patrick's Boys. But like all boys, he was very, very active in our sports club in Carndonagh FC that I'm speaking for today. Also in Cumann Lough Class Gael, Carndonagh, where he would have been an excellent footballer, played a bit of hurling. So what coaches and others have said in relation to Tiernan was that he was a positive, humorous, an addition to anyone and everyone involved in sport here locally. He was a treasured member of our clubs, and our sympathies very much so are with Kevin and Louise, the extended Doherty and Kelly families. And yesterday our club invited all his friends and club friends to come, and that was later on repeated by the Gaelic club, just so that we could share a prayer, acknowledge and remember a great person who contributed so much to us in his short years.
It's just absolutely devastating for his family. And I mean, words, there's no words, but I just hope they know that we're all thinking on them and praying for them and are behind them, because it's just unimaginable. And also thinking very much on his friends, his young, you know, be his friends, friends through sport or his other interests. They're young people too, and for many of them, this might be their first experience of loss and grief like this, and on such a scale. It's comforting that they're members of groups and clubs often, and they can come together and support each other and try, as difficult as it might be, to make some sense of this for themselves.
Yes, it's difficult to find consoling words in this circumstances, but yes, it was important that his young friends came together, treasured and remembered all their positive thoughts about young Tiernan, and that they have each other, and the clubs and our community will also ensure that we have them as well in our thoughts and prayers in the difficult days that we're going to face here in this community.
Okay. Unfortunately, it's more devastation on our roads. We've lost four people on our roads in just over a week, not attributing any responsibility or blame or anything like that there. And I don't want to be insensitive, but we just have to double down and redouble our efforts to sort of understand how deadly the roads can be and do anything we can to avoid any further carnage, because we're a small enough county. How much more can we take?
Absolutely. Too much carnage on our roads, too costly and too sore and too many families, and anything and everything that can be done, we need to explore and see that we're doing that
okay,
in the future. Yeah, very much so.
All right, Albert, take care of yourself. Thanks very much indeed. We welcome on to the show now Fine Gael Senator Nicky Bradley. Nicky, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm all right, Nicky. How are you? I suppose you went viral and then it was deleted and then you went viral again. I know you're acutely aware of social media and how it works and all that type of stuff. I suppose what's your comment or reaction, or I don't know, whatever you want to say, Nicky.
Yeah, so, well, first and foremost, I just want to apologise to the people of Donegal, because even though I know where my comments are coming from, and I'll explain them in a moment, I 100% can see what, you know, how it looked, the way I spoke. I didn't articulate my message well enough. I should have gone into examples when I was talking about, you know, negative attitudes and stuff like that. I was simply trying to just kind of put a positive spin even on, you know, our own experience at the election and remind people that we live in an incredible county. And that's genuinely where my intentions were. Anybody that knows me would know that I would absolutely never insult, certainly people that are, have taken time to vote for me. It's just not who I am. However, having watched the footage back, I can 100% see that that's exactly what it looked like. But just to say that, especially people in defective concrete block homes, referring to, you know, some of the phrases that I used, moaning and groaning, etc., they absolutely were not directed at people that are literally having their lives fall down around them. I meant smaller issues. And as I said, I was more referring to us just kind of, you know, trying to have a bit of a brighter attitude and being grateful for what we have here in the county. But having seen the way the weekend has gone, I just feel really disappointed in myself that that's the way I came across, because I've spent years, you know, I set up my campaign 11 years ago and I've spent all of that time trying to work with the people of Donegal and further afield to actually make the place better, make the world a better place. And my comments over the weekend, I feel I've undone a lot of the good work that I have done. And for that, I can only apologise. And, you know, there's no excuse. I should have, you know, as a speaker, I should have been able to articulate my messages better, and I didn't. And as I said, I have let myself and my team down there, and I completely will acknowledge that. But I just, you know, if there is any possibility of forgiveness out there, I would just remind people to maybe take a look at the stuff that I have done over the years. You know, I'm trying to do good here. The reason I went into politics was for the same reason. It was to continue to help people. And while I can't help everybody, and there is, you know, there is a process when you are especially working on bigger issues that it doesn't happen overnight. And I understand people get frustrated if maybe they don't hear back from me straight away or whatever. But I just want to kind of get the message out there that I am genuinely here for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And although, you know, the election didn't go our way, we still, you know, we had a great number of votes for my first time run. We did have a huge amount of support. And, you know, it would be a real shame now if that support went away just over, you know, those comments that, as I said, were genuinely not meant in the way that they came across.
No, and I get that. And there's two things, the way I would look at it. And I mean, personally, for me, obviously, you know, I do this show every morning. If I thought about it all of the time and then went home and watched news and then went on social media platforms and read all that kind of stuff, it would become overbearing, right? You know what I mean? It would feel like there is no light, no light, there'd be all darkness. So I do understand exactly where you're coming from. I believe I understand where you were coming from, that whilst we have to champion and highlight what might be negative in the world, even if it's just a walk on a beach or whatever it might be, that break, that positivity, or trying to give ourselves a respite, get that.
Exactly.
I think I read that right. And I did reference that, Nikki, during the course of the interview, or certainly immediately afterwards. That being said, is that I think, given the fact that one of the big issues was the issues that you referenced and all that kind of stuff, I think some people feel so under the rock and of difficulties in life. And sadly, we've lost people by suicide and marriages have broken up. And, you know, there are kids that are going through the likes of the defective concrete and what have you. And as a reference to you, you know, they can't get the help they need to try and see the light.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the comments weren't nuanced enough just to pick that up. I'm not preaching to you, Nikki. That's not, I'm not interested in beating you up or whatever. That's not
my
style.
Yeah, no, I do. Style. I completely
But I think
agree.
that's what really, and then obviously there are people that want to have a go at Fine Gael and they can latch onto that. There's lots of different people reacting in different ways to it. But I think there was which you've acknowledged, I think there was a genuine sense that people go, as with all of your trials and tribulations, and they are many, and some that you endure, right? But I think for some it just didn't capture the sense of desperation that they are feeling, or the sense of loss they have, as I tried to articulate to you during the course. I'm not preaching to you, Nikki, by the way. You know that,
no,
don't
no,
you?
I know.
I'm just sort of teasing through the where some might have gone, right, I get her, and some might have gone, she don't get us.
Yeah, exactly. And I, as I said, like I'm not making excuses. I just wanted to kind of explain the greater context, but I 100% can see that that's exactly how it looked. And, you know, I'm not going to kind of stand here this morning and try and make excuses. I was wrong. And I think it's, you know, you have to acknowledge that. And had I been able to do a do-over, I certainly would have selected my words very differently, because my and a lot of people said that I didn't have any empathy, and that just simply couldn't be further from the truth. The empathy that I feel for these families, some of these families are my own friends' families. And I know even they have been hurt by my comments. And you know this will stay with me for a long time, because I am a good person, and I will continue to think about this, and I will use this as a way of improving as I move forward. And I certainly hope to never find myself in this situation again, where my words can have such a hurtful effect on others.
But Nikki, also too, the people that may have been hurt by that are also good people, and they'll hear you today and will reflect on that, because not everyone would react to you are too. So you know what I mean? As I say, the people you talk of are your friends, family, and neighbours, not literally, but you know what I mean, of the community. They'll reflect on your views today, I'm sure. And as I say, they are good people and understanding as well. Anything else you want to add, Nikki? No?
Just to say how you're still standing after the weekend, fair play to you. I can only imagine how tired the whole team is. The coverage was absolutely excellent. I think everybody tuned in. How you kept the conversation going for so long over the weekend was just an absolute testament to you and how good you are at your job. But other than that, just congratulations on the coverage.
How we kept it going was perhaps maybe just not talking about much. But anyway, all right, Santa Nikki Bradley, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Your
time, as I say. Just wanted to, the senator contacted us looking to clarify the comments there and have a word with you guys. And each and every one of you are it's up to you how you interpret that. That's the way it all works, isn't it? Let me just mention something. Because it's the car. This day in a week. In a week, we're going to give you €1,000, and then on Tuesday, €1,000, and then on Monday, €1,000, and then for 10 consecutive days, €1,000. Because last week, it may have got lost in all, last week we upgraded, you could say, our super Christmas car giveaway here at Highland Ready. We've got a car worth over $30,000. And it's going to be given away on the 23rd of December to one of our lucky listeners or those participating in the competition. And we've also added in 10 chances to win €1,000. And it starts next Monday. Every day, €1,000 will be given away. If you bought your ticket prior to this announcement, you're in all 11 draws. Don't worry about that. You can sit back, relax, and see if you're going to be one of our lucky 11 winners. But if you do want to be in that competition and you, of course, can afford it and have a bit of crack with it, right? You can buy a ticket for €15 or you can get 5 for 50, and you can individually name those tickets if you wish. How do you get your tickets? Well, you go onto our website, highlandradio.com. You click on Win a Car. And as I say, you can buy one or five tickets and you will be in all 11 draws. So if you get your ticket before Monday, right, you don't miss anything. So you're in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and so on and so forth. But if you already bought your ticket, you're in. You don't have to answer your call to win, by the way. Your number's drawn out and that prize is attributed to your number straight away. So that's that. So get your tickets now and you're in all 11 draws. Now, you can go online, highlandradio.com, perfectly safe and secure. If you prefer and you only use cash, as an example, you can call into us here at the Mountaintop in Letterkenny and buy your ticket that way. We'll sort that out for you during office hours. Or if you want to give us a call on 07491 25000, we can process that for you as well, send you out the email and so on and so forth. So that's all really exciting. So every day we're going to make someone €1,000 next week. And then on the 23rd, we're going to give away a beautiful car. Fred Gillen is with me now. Fred, how are you getting on?
Very good, Greg. Indeed, thank you very much for getting back to me.
No, it's important. That's what we're here for. This is the bread and butter, the elections and everything else is great, Fred. But this is about also what we can do to sort of progress people's lives. 2.5 years ago, you applied for a grant for a bathroom to make it more accessible for your needs, Fred. Tell us about that.
Well, basically, I'd gone on to Donegal County Council, who were very helpful. And they informed me that basically the bathroom would have nothing to do with them. And to get in contact with the health board. Now, I was diagnosed with something that basically I like my bath, let's put it this way, rather than a shower. But I was informed that I would no longer be able to use the bath.
Yeah.
And that it would have to be a shower, but the shower would have to be adapted.
Okay.
So, right, the next thing was, okay, I thought, well, fine. Phone letter, can I? They informed me, yes, they'll send me out the form, but, now, fairly rudely, I will say, I was very disappointed in the way I was treated. They said, yes, but it could take maybe 12 months before I could come out to see you. And I said, well, says I, they have to be dead before you come to see me. Now, I already joking about it.
I know. Yeah.
But that was 2.5 to 3 years ago. Now, I could have been dead. I'm not no teenager anymore. And the point I'm trying to make, I basically wouldn't have been able to get up the stairs to the bathroom and had to come downstairs.
So when you applied for the grant, Fred, you were told it would be 12 months before someone could even come out and assess the property.
Yeah.
And did they come out?
No.
Okay.
I'll be quite honest with you, I phoned twice. And I'd laugh about it because I actually did it myself at the finish up at a fairly highly cost.
Okay.
And I said to my wife, I said, look, I'd mark this down in the calendar because eventually they might get back to me. And I phoned, like I say, twice. And after the second time, I said, well, let's just see from here on. And believe it or believe it not, last Wednesday, I think it was, somebody from the health board actually got back to me asking me, did I get the bathroom sorted yet? But I says, I did it my own bat, but says, I couldn't have done it anyway without somebody coming out to assess it.
Yeah.
So says I, from that point, I would have had to wait maybe another 6 months before I would have been told yes or no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay.
Now, I'm in my 70s, so it'll give you an idea. Very disappointed. Now, the second person who did get back to me were very polite. And Donegal County Council was very helpful. But they could do nothing about the situation. Now, I was told by my doctor that at the time, now, thanks be to God, everything has improved since. At the time, I could no longer use the bath because it was I could drown, basically, as simple as that.
Yeah.
But I never stopped using the bath. I'd rather stop using the bath or not wash for 2.5 years.
Well, you know yourself. I mean, obviously, the doctors give advice, but we know ourselves, Fred. So you did get the bathroom adapted yourself at your own cost. And then 2.5 years later, you got a phone call and they said, by the way, what's the story with the bathroom? And the question is really, is there actually a grant available? I mean, if you have to wait for 2.5 years for a callback, whilst they might say there is a grant, your feeling is well, actually, is there a grant? Because I've spent the money now and there is no grant for me.
That's exactly what it says. Now I would like to know how many other people in the same situation who hasn't got the money or hadn't got the money to actually redo the bathroom themselves.
Yes.
And basically how they're managing.
And Fred, why would you qualify for, you're in social housing or is this just the type of stuff the HSD do to assist people to live in their own homes? Or what was the grant that you applied for?
It was the glass, my own house. No, it's not in social housing, nothing. It's my own property.
Okay.
But like I say, they were advertising these grants for this and that and the other. But whenever I was informed that I had an illness that I couldn't, let's put it, I was taken off the road. That's how serious it was.
Understood, yeah. It made a big difference to your life. Yeah.
Oh, the whole thing, yeah. Mm. But like I say, everything has improved since. I got my license, everything back.
Oh, did you?
But
good
only
stuff.
For that. I actually did the bathroom up myself at my own expense. It's quite a large expense into the bargain.
No, it's not too.
But for the health board not to get back to me, I thought, you know, I actually did end up laughing. And I even said to Lydia, last Wednesday, I said, really, is this April Fool's Day?
Mm. Okay, so the question is, in terms of sort of housing adaptation grants, which I presume this is what it falls under, are people waiting 2.5 years? What's the longest wait and what have you? As you say, Fred, thankfully your health has greatly improved. There are others who wouldn't get that call back because they could have passed away or something or had to move out of their house. Listen, Fred, thanks for keep listening. We'll let you know if anyone calls in on that issue, shared experiences and all that.
Well, I appreciate you getting back to me, Greg. And yes, I would just like to know how many people are out there waiting.
Okay. Right, Fred. You're not.
Thank you very much.
You're not in the bath now, are you?
I can take it from you. I had one last night and enjoyed it.
How long did you soak for?
Sorry?
How long did you soak for?
Good 45 minutes.
And does herself bring any? Does herself bring any treats or anything in?
Does she, heck? I've not looked at that advertisement where they're talking about insurance before you die.
Oh, no. Geez. Oh, that advert. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a lovely... God, that advert's a funny one, isn't it? Is that you in the bath with the big smile on your face planning your cremation, Fred?
Would you believe me? Believe it or believe it not, I thought about that the first time I seen it.
Yeah, and her chatting through the crack in the door, just handing you in the tea, Fred, around the corner.
Yeah, rather than insurance. Listen. Oh, yes, darling, they're getting the insurance.
Oh, that's lovely. Hey, come here, Fred. Best wishes to you. Great to hear, actually, as part of that story, that you're back on the road and your health is improved, which is great. So best wishes to you, Fred, and your significant other, your better half. Send a love to her as well, will you?
Yeah, great, Greg. And thanks very much for getting back to me again.
And on the serious element of that, we'll, of course, we'll invite our listeners to see if they've got shared experiences. Frank, Fred. Oh, thanks, Fred. God bless you. Take care. All right, bye-bye. Right, Louise is with me now. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing? Good morning.
It is a good morning unless you're waiting on your wages. What's the story, Louise?
I didn't get too much spending done now over the shopping weekend.
Right.
So essentially what happened was Friday morning, the wages were due in, along with all the direct debits and everything else that comes out. And just happened to have a wee look on my online banking and noticed there was no wages in and the direct debits didn't come out.
But they tried to get them out. Or did they?
They did try. They would have tried, yeah.
Before, yeah. I did the same. I've got my direct debits coming out when my wages go in because you presume they will. Yeah. Okay. All right, Louise, you're in the same boat.
And it normally happens pretty, you know, it's fine. It comes out no problems, no issues. But just on the Friday, I was gearing myself up to do a bit of Black Friday shopping and no, there was nothing in. So, and also the app that I use on the phone as well to look at permanent TSB, it was glitching.
Right.
So I went then into the laptop and had a look on, and now that wasn't glitching, but they had a sort of a flash message up that there was a technical issue, and that basically they were working on it, and that there was an issue with transfers. Apparently, it was related to a third party European processor, I guess, someone that works with them for transferring things. I don't know, but they were trying to work on it. So I just kept checking in on it all weekend, and even this morning now there's still no wages in.
Oh my word. Because they said it was resolved on Friday, if I remember.
Yeah.
So did the attempt to take the, did anything process it? In other words, did they try and take out direct debits?
Well, a few direct debits did come out because there was money, a bit of money in, but there has been a few that failed as well.
But my point is, Louise, isn't it always like that? It's broken. There's an IT problem, but they can pull stuff out of it, but they can't pull stuff
broken.
In. Because I've been in
Absolutely,
this boat with
yeah.
you before as well, yeah. because, you know, with direct debit accounts, I'd move money around or what have you and just have enough to cover direct debits, and you're probably in the same boat. But then I start when it happened to me before, next thing you get a $12.50 for return payment. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to make sure that you're not out of pocket over the back of this, Louise. I hope.
Well, I did ring them this morning, because I rang them because customer service wasn't available all weekend, which was very frustrating.
Crazy.
I couldn't speak to anyone. It was saying the issue was resolved. It obviously wasn't resolved. I asked a few other friends here with permanent TSB. They said they didn't get their wages either. And so we were just waiting in limbo.
Yeah.
So I did ring them this morning and I asked them about it, and they said that they have the issue fixed, but now it's just a waiting game to get everything, all the transfers across.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure probably a lot of people are in the same boat as me today. I did ask them about, I says, you know, any like charges from the direct debits that were returned, what's the story with them? And they said, I have to open a complaints case. And I says to them, that means I have to do the work. I have to put in work to fix financially the issue that you caused, you know. So
right.
I opened the case, but someone's going to contact me. But essentially, it's going to take a lot to get.
But this is now we're talking about a value on your time. This is stuff this is nothing to do with you. It's their glitch.
No.
They should have some sort of a system that resolves this rather than you having to open a complaint. Because now what happens is do they go back in for payments? And I'm speaking from experience here, Louise. Do they go back in on Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday or Monday? So even for the next while until all those payments are cleared, you're going to have to watch the bank account all the time. Like it's a huge inconvenience. All right. We'll see what other people's experiences is, Louise. And I don't know. It's nothing we can do about you missing the Black Friday deals and your weekend of shopping.
It might be for the best, Greg, but no, I just wanted to raise awareness because, you know, they're saying the issue's solved, but it may be solved, but there's still people that haven't got wages, and I think it's just covering over a problem with a bit of gloss. It's, you know, they haven't identified that people are still not paid today.
Yeah, I hear you, Louise. All right, listen, thanks for that. I do appreciate it. It's an experience I've had myself. I know exactly where she's coming from. Some comments here. Nikki Bradley's interview following such disappointment and when undoubtedly so emotional is a lesson in not giving any interview in such circumstances. Camilla Harris and Hillary Clinton are good examples of staying away from any microphone until the hurt and disappointment has sunk in. Well, I don't agree with that either. And I can't speak on behalf of Nikki. I don't know Nikki other than the occasional interview in here. I do get the impression, because I think she said comments similar to other media outlets, that this was something she was trying to articulate in the last throes of her campaign. So I don't believe it was, and I could be wrong, I'm open to correction, but I believe there was a similar sort of an angle or approach with other media outlets as well. So it's obviously a point that she wanted to get across, but she said herself she didn't articulate it correctly. As someone that spent all weekend at the Cant Centre, emotions can be elevated for everyone. What Nikki said was not good, but the fact that she was reflecting or has reflected over the weekend and has come on and held her hands up and apologised, the count is over. We need to just get back to being nice to each other again. Nikki, I didn't appreciate your comments, but commend you on your apology. Thank you. Greg, if you could ask Charlie McConnell Oak to come on and apologise also. As he said, many suicides and marriage breakups and many other dreadful things in his government have happened, and he's... we'll not get into that. The dust has settled and the people have spoken, and I respect your point of view. People need to remind themselves why we call and consider ourselves the forgotten county. Nikki's actually right. There's no point us all moaning and groaning. It's right if we re-elect the same TD who did nothing for DCB until voluntary campaigners tackled it. Okay, and that's just the various views we're getting in so far this morning.